welcome to Lisa Higginbotham, who will be with us for a discussion after church. So please, everyone, be invited to join us downstairs after church. We've got a sandwich bar. We've got some refreshments. Come join the food, the fellowship, and the discussion. And thank you. It is good to be here together, and together we will encounter God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. So let us begin with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water and by the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world.
Feed us with your grace, and grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. Things ever. You know what it is? Flour.
White rice flour.
Yes, white rice flour. But let's just pretend it's flour, whatever type of flour. But what can we do with flour?
A lot.
A lot. Name something.
Bake.
Bake what?
Cookies.
You can bake cookies with flour.
You can make pancakes.
You can make pancakes with flour. You know what else you can do with flour? We could make it snow. Up and down, make it snow.
That'd be very hard to clean up.
It'd be hard to clean up. What else could we do with flour? So we have cookies, we have
pancakes.
What else?
Cake.
Cake?
We can make pasta too.
Yeah, pasta. Yeah. Or we could make it snow. But what else can we do with it? We got cake. What about pizza?
We can make you.
You could make
a sculpture.
A sculpture of me, yeah. We can make a sculpture of me. We can make a pizza. You like pizza?
Yeah.
We can make a pizza out of it. What else can we do with it?
Make it snow.
We could make it snow! So we got flour.
Snow.
We got snow. So we could do good things with flour, like make some yummy cookies or some bread or some cake or a pizza dough, or we could totally destroy the inside of our house by making it snow. So the one thing can be good, and it can also be bad, right? In today's story, Jesus is talking about our riches and our wealth, and we can do good things with it, and we can do bad things with it, like not care for our world. And so I think our challenge is all the gifts that God gives us.
Don't make it snow.
So let us pray. And for all our friends and visitors, on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together like we're praying. The loud clap. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for your gifts.
Thank you for your gifts.
May we not make it snow.
May we not make it snow.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our 16th Sunday after Pentecost, September 28th, 2025. Our first reading is from Amos, chapter 6. A reading from the book of Amos. Hear now the word. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is 1 Timothy. Psalms 146. The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin, as you all know, and I don't. I will read the light print. Please respond with the bold. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations.
Hallelujah. Now, our second reading, 1 Timothy chapter 6. A reading from the first letter to Timothy. Hear now the word. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Now those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is. Holy wisdom, holy word.
And thanks be to God.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received the good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, the evil. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, Between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I kind of like this time of year when the clouds just start rolling in and the rain starts coming and we go, oh, it's fall. Because when it's fall, we go, ooh, Christmas is just around the corner. I start dreaming of all those great surfing presents my family's going to get me. And then I crack open the Christmas Carol as an Advent tradition and I read the Christmas Carol. And friends, when we come to our text today, I really, truly believe that Charles Dickens wrote the Christmas Carol as a commentary on our text. Now, I will admit, I now have tried, I can find no actual historical evidence for that theory. But I cling to it nonetheless. The two have a lot of similarities. We have the supernatural specters going on. They serve as a warning parable. And they have the central theme is the same, which is the words Marley says to Scrooge. "It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world. Oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth and turned it to happiness." Now, friends, when we come to our parable today, I know it raises lots of questions that we want answered about the afterlife. But I would propose to you the meaning of this parable can be gained the same way when you read the Christmas Carol. You don't get caught up with what the afterlife is. Of course, both stories enter into myth and parable, and we get, but we don't have to get caught up in them to understand. Like we said last week, the text was asking us the question, what do we do with what we have until that is taken from us? Well, today is the ending of all this great teaching, long teaching of Jesus, and we get kind of the warning parable. And the simple point, I think, is this. The same thing in the Christmas story we hear. What is our business? Our business is the business of the common man. Welfare is our business. And it is this lifetime that we have the chance to care for our world. So I hope, when it comes to the rich man and Lazarus, hear it the same way. We can sit down with a Christmas carol and just enjoy that story and get the point. But the punchline of this parable is really at the end. The rich man asks Abraham to send barley to his five brothers. And Abraham says, no, barley is not going, because they won't believe, they didn't believe the law, they didn't believe the prophets, they're not going to believe barley. And he says, they will not believe someone, even if that person is resurrected from the dead. My friends, that is our clue. This is no longer a hypothetical question for us. Because it so happens that someone has risen from the dead. Someone who happens to be God's very self. God who was with God before creation, who was God, who created all things through him, by him, and to him, all things in heaven and earth. And this one came and lived our life. This one came and died for us. This one, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, descended in to the dead for 3 days. And after 3 days has risen again. And now life is poured out for all of us as resurrection. So the question is, not a hypothetical one, this one has spoken. Are we listening? It just so happens the Creator of heaven and earth walked with us and has given us a whole bunch of things to think about, a whole bunch of wisdom sayings about the purpose of life, how to reach full meaning, how to find happiness. And we have that choice of dismissing all that and saying, what has he done? Or can we listen? I think the central teaching of what Jesus has been saying to us is something like, the true meaning of life is to bear your burden for the sake of the others. That to save the world is to bear your burden for the sake of others. And in these last few weeks, we've heard a lot about finances, and it's the same kind of message. Take what you've been given, use it for the sake of the others. And the mystery is, I think, if we listen to Jesus, that is where true meaning and true happiness and true purpose is found, in service. And sometimes, friends, especially in the Lutheran Church, I only ever pick on myself, we really distinguish, or we're really good talking about the teachings about Jesus. And sometimes we miss the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus has been teaching us a lot these last few weeks. We've been actually in what Jesus is saying, not stories about him. And so I guess the question is always, are we listening? And it's not always clear what Jesus has to say. That's why I spend a lot of time talking about the wisdom sayings of Jesus and trying to understand them through the frame of wisdom, through that biblical wisdom frame. And it's difficult to know what that means for my own life, which is why we are invited through the discipline of prayer, meditation, contemplation, silence, listening, struggling with what Jesus is saying, and then opening up our hearts to where the Spirit is moving in us, both as an individual and as a church. This is what it means to listen. It's not always clear, but if we pray and we listen and we feel, maybe the Spirit will guide us in the direction to go. And that brings us to the occasion of today, friends. You are all invited for nothing more than for a sandwich bar down below, coffee, some refreshments, some fellowship. But then Lisa Higginbotham is here from the ELCA Foundation to make a presentation about legacy giving. She is not paid by commission, friends. There is no pressure to sign up, to do anything. It's just information. And as I always say, information is good. The more information is good. And then you can discern in your own life what to do with that information. She'll be downstairs after your great sandwich and your great cup of coffee and meeting some friends. She'll talk about legacy. And that is simply like the question of all these possessions that you can't take with you when you go. You can leave them as a lasting gift so they continue to care for the things that you care about after you pass on. Now that may appeal to some of you. Some of you may feel called to do something like that. Some of you may not. It's okay. No one can tell you the call that the Spirit is laying on your own heart. Only you know that. Only you can listen to the words of Jesus and interpret them yourselves and how you are specifically called for them. But again, join the conversation. Conversations are always good. And the question is this: are we listening to the one who is risen from the dead? The one who invites us to this table. The one who has said, "This is my body given for you. Each of you. Christ's body is here for you." The one who was raised from the dead says, "Your place is at the table of the King. Come. Dying with me." The one who is raised from the dead says, "Your sins are forgiven. Come join the feast." Friends, may we listen and be invited to believe the words of the one who is risen from the dead. Friends, the table is here. Our place is here. God is with us here. Please come and join us all. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious God, we come to you in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for the church, that it would remain faithful to the gospel, always striving to serve the needs of those who are oppressed and rejecting the complacency that comes from wealth. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for creation, that the nations work together to protect and restore the earth, preserving the beauty of the planet for future generations and honoring the gift of your creation. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those in positions of authority, that they govern with justice and compassion, recognizing the dignity of all people and working to promote peace and prosperity for all. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for people in need, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Kareem, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Katila Nev, and her parents and grandparents, Eric, Jody, Samuel, Ed, Meredith, Bennett, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld, for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Give them your assurance and courage when the path forward is not clear. Liberate us from all that binds us. Lift us up when we are bowed down, and show us your love. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for this congregation that we would be strengthened to build a world where all can thrive. Incite us to advocate for fair wages and just policies, and guide us in building a community of mutual support. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We remember in thanksgiving the faithful departed. Inspire us by their example to love and serve our neighbors and bring us to eternal life. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us now to rise for our offering hymn. Uncertainty of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Multiply what we have gathered to bless all who are suffering and in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Holy people.
He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who, handed over to death, he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering there his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your church, both now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Spirit, let us pray as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God. The invitation is for all people to come forward now and come. This is also the last Sunday of the month, so we have a healing service in the back with Deaconess Sabina. So you can come up to receive communion and then go into the back by our baptismal font if you would like to lay on the hands and oil to the prayer request. In a moment, the ushers will come forward and ask that this side go first. We're filling our communion rails from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is comfortable to you. Only come with your hands out. Bread will be given to you. We have gluten-free options upon request. And then when the wine is passed around, we ask you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the light cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come for just a blessing, you may do that also. Crossing your arms. But no, friends, this is an invitation for all, and all who come forward will receive from Christ's table. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
Build a broader doorway, not a wider.
Let us pray. O God, through this meal you have sustained us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And friends, we just pause now for some announcements, and again, I invite everyone after church to come downstairs for food, fellowship, and some information. Next week also, we'll be starting a new liturgy. We are very excited about that, and there's going to be some special things unveiled next week. So please join us for some heartwarming new liturgy and help us continue to deepen our experience of the encounter of the liturgy. And we just want to point out that today we're trying to invite us all to a moment of calm silence before the start of worship. So we're trying to do a pattern where there'll be two preludes. You're invited in the first prelude to sit in, and then we're inviting you intentionally to have some calm silence, and then the second prelude will pick up, and then our service will begin. As always, there's a lot going on in the church this week. We have contemplative prayer at noon. We have a beach walk on Thursday at 11, weather permitting, but I will walk with whoever shows up. And many, many other things. Please look at the words of the week to see all the events that we are doing. And let's now prepare our hearts for the blessing. The God of righteousness, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoner free. Bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.